To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of a blue sky ocean view comes to us from an unknown Facebook friend who originally shared the scene from the end of a dock or pier on social media on or around February 19th, 2021. If this crystal blue vision is yours, give me a heads up and I'll update the blog to give you the photo credit you so richly deserve. Well, it's Monday and I share scenes like today's photo to encourage my friends to go out and enjoy their lives and to remember the moments of joy they had to help them make it through the times that aren't so good. When you're going through trials, it's good to remember moments of joy from our past for two reasons. One, they tell us that life hasn't always been as bad as the problems we are currently experiencing. And two, they give us the hope that someday in the future, we can have similar joy-producing moments where our current problems are things we have overcome and left in the past. Similarly, and more importantly, when we are going through trials, we can remember when God has helped us in the past, and we can put our faith in His promises that assure us that He is working all things together for good. And if we are in Christ, regardless of the outcome of the particular situations we're moving through, we are assured of a good end, and that we will one day experience what it means to live with God. The promise we have for eternity is spoken of in Revelation 21:3-4, where we are assured, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain of the former things, for the former things have passed away. No more death, sorrow, crying, or pain. Oh, brother and sister, that's our destiny. Let's not forget that and rejoice right now, because when we hold on to that truth, nothing and no one can take away our hope for better days to come. We just have to keep on walking and talking with God until we get there. And what better time to draw close to the Lord than right now in the season of Lent? And speaking of Lent, it's the 23rd day of Lent, and so we continue my personal walkthrough of Gracia Grindal's 40-day journey with Martin Luther to observe and celebrate the Lenten season. In this walkthrough of Grindal's devotional, it is our hope that we will get to know Martin Luther a little better as we seek to draw closer to the Lord on our journey to Resurrection Sunday, or Easter. And so we continue in Journey Day 23, where Martin Luther writes, "I believe that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him, but instead the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, made me holy, and kept me in the true faith, just as He calls, gathers, enlightens, and makes holy the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. Because holiness has begun and is growing daily, we await the time when our flesh will be put to death, will be buried with all its uncleanness, and will come forth gloriously and arise to complete and perfect holiness and a new eternal life. Now, however, we remain only halfway pure and holy. The Holy Spirit must always work in us through the Word, granting us daily forgiveness until we attain to that life where there will be no more forgiveness. In that life, there will be only perfectly pure and holy people, full of integrity and righteousness, completely freed from sin, death, and all misfortune, living in new, immortal, and glorified bodies." From Martin Luther. Today's biblical wisdom that's paired with that is Romans 8:18, and the Word of God says, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us." And at that point, our devotion directs us to sit in silence for meditation. So you can pause the podcast or stop reading and sit quietly for 60 seconds or a few minutes or 10 to 15 minutes or however long you feel comfortable with and have time for. You can focus on your breath and the calm stillness in the present moment that is always available to us in God's creation. We can meditate on Martin Luther's comments for the day and the content of today's biblical wisdom, which tells us, you know, that the Lord gives us our faith, and that we can look forward to a day when we're completely pure and holy. Anyway, we move along to the questions to ponder, and the first one is, if as Luther suggests, both the capacity to believe and the content of our faith are pure gifts of grace given by the Holy Spirit, what, if any, is the role of human effort in our relationship with God? Although we are saved by the grace of God and given the ability to repent by the power of the Holy Spirit, the role of human effort in our relationship should not be dismissed. God brings us into his kingdom, but after we are saved, he invites us to do our part in our relationship with him, by actively renewing our minds with his word and making efforts to align our lives with his principles for living, by repenting of our former ways and crucifying our flesh to abstain from sin and to do good works for his kingdom. Any Christian knows that although they are given the joy of their salvation after putting their faith in Jesus, they still have free will and can still be led into temptation and sin. So, it is our responsibility to make the daily decision to forsake our former ways of thinking and acting and to choose to follow God with the way we live. The degree to which we choose to follow is our decision. And the more effort we put forth to know God and to represent the kingdom, the more that God will teach us, bless us, and lead us into becoming the people he created us to be. The next question is, why is the daily forgiveness of sin so central to the work of the Holy Spirit? The daily forgiveness of sin is so central to the work of the Holy Spirit because we are imperfect sons and daughters of God who still sin, and we need the assurance of our forgiveness and the comfort that the Spirit brings to us so we will not condemn ourselves and instead will persist in our efforts to become more and more like Jesus, to grow progressively in our sanctification and in finding our purpose in Christ. And the next question is, what does it mean to say that the Holy Spirit must always work in us through the Word? The Holy Spirit must always work within us through the Word because it is by the wisdom of the Word of God that we learn what our new lives are supposed to look like. The Word renews our minds by causing us to know the truth about who we are and how we are to live. The Holy Spirit illuminates the scriptures, so the word convicts us and enlightens us. The Holy Spirit encourages and empowers us to repent based on the wisdom of God's word. And we move along to today's psalm fragment, which comes from Psalm 51, 10 through 12. And the word of God says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit." And we move along to journal reflections. The first one asks us, have you experienced a longing to be perfectly pure and holy? If so, describe the longing in your journal. How has this longing impacted your life? If not, can you imagine what it might be like to have such a longing? I have experienced the longing to be perfectly pure and holy. You don't forsake sexual sin unless you have that desire. And amazingly, the Lord will bless your efforts to be pure and holy by giving you the power to overcome the sins of the flesh if you ask him for help, lean on his strength, and follow him into righteousness. This longing has changed my life. Can you honestly say there is no sexual sin in my life? I can, and it is only by the grace and power of God that I can do so. While I have victory in that one area, there is still room to grow. Food addiction is an ongoing struggle. Frustration and it driving me into swearing is a real present concern. But I can imagine that if I continue to surrender to the Lord, He will help me to grow in these areas too. And the next prompting asks, how often do you read the Bible and spend time in prayer? Does it feel like enough time? I would normally say I read the Bible every day, because I normally do. Ironically, this 40-day journey with Martin Luther and my current March Madness as a Freedom in Christ course I am leading is coming to a close has gotten in the way of my normal Bible study. But in truth, I'm getting lots of scripture through that, through these things. As for my prayer life, I spend at least 15 to 20 minutes in dedicated prayer every morning and have an ongoing conversation throughout my days. And no, I don't think I will ever feel that I have enough time for these two spiritual disciplines. And the final journal prompting is, do your devotional practice sharpen both your sense of sin and your joy in God's forgiveness? Yes, my devotional practices convict me in areas where I need to grow, and they cause me to rejoice over my relationship with God and the fact that I am forgiven and free in Christ. And next we move to the prayers from the life of faith, where it directs us to pray that your congregation will faithfully preach Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit so that more will be called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified in the one true faith. All right, let's pray it. I pray that my church will faithfully preach Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, that more will be called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified in the one true faith. Show us the truth and lead us in holiness, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The prayer for today is, come, Holy Spirit, enlighten my faith today. Show me the depth of my sins and the glory I receive in the forgiveness of my sins. Amen. And now we move along to today's Bible verses, which come to us from the Quick Scripture Reference for Counseling by John G. Cruis. This morning's meditation verses come from the section on contentment, coveting, and priorities. And today's verses are from Matthew 6:19 through 21, where Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today's verses fall under the 10th point of our Counseling Reference Guide's resource section on contentment, coveting, and priorities. And that 10th point is, do not lay up earthly treasures, but heavenly treasures. Today's verses are the words of Jesus, and He teaches us to value the things we do for the kingdom of God, rather than the things of this world. This should impress upon us the importance of following the Lord with the way we live. Although this world may judge us by the wealth we have and the things we own, God values the things we do for His kingdom. So let's not be obsessed with the material things of this world, but concern ourselves with the spiritual treasures that come from the things we do for and with God. And let's see, as always, I invite all to go to mtforchrist.org, where I always share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist my brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today we continue sharing from According to Your Word, Morning and Evening Through the New Testament by Stephen F. Alford. And Alford always directs us to read a chapter of Scripture from the New Testament. And today the chapter is Luke 12. And from Luke 12 he shares from verse 29, which says, do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. And Alford writes, what a message for today, when men and nations in the world are very nearly beside themselves with anxiety. Do not seek, said the Lord, what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. And previously, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, and God feeds them. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, how much more will he clothe you? That's from Luke 12, 24 through 28. And he goes on to write, to live in anxiousness is a definite sin, for it is rank faithlessness, and what is not of faith is sin. And he prays this out by saying, Father, give me the faith of the raven and lily. Amen. Yeah, we're not supposed to be anxious. Don't be anxious for anything. By prayer and supplication, take all your concerns to God, right? I think that's Philippians. And it's good biblical advice, even though I might not have the exact verse or scripture reference there. We're not to fear. Like I stated in the beginning, our future hope is life eternal in God's kingdom. And if we actually know that, if we actually reflect on that, if we focus on that, we can have peace, we can have joy, and we can walk through whatever trials face us. The circumstances of this world are uncertain, but we are, our outcome is certain with Christ. It's life and life everlasting, and that should give us great joy and peace. Recently, I've been thrown asunder by conditions that surround me and being overly concerned at trying to fix people and lead people. And you know, on Friday, the Lord came into my life to remind me of all the things he's done in my life to set me free and to lead me in the way I should go. And the wonderful things he's done in my life, and that, you know, his promises are yes and amen, and that he'll lead us into a better place, you know, one way or the other. I can't take anyone with me. I can encourage people to follow the Lord, but I can't force anyone to follow, and it'll be up to them. So I'm hoping that God will move and do things to help the people I'm concerned about, to rediscover things that are true about them, and to walk in newness of life. But I can't do it for them, and I've encouraged and I've worried about it, and now I'm gonna let go and let God. I continue to show my concern, but when you let these things affect your peace and your thought life, where you can't think straight, that's when we're in anxious. You know, that's anxiety. We're not supposed to walk in that. It's a sin. It's rank faithlessness, according to Alford. So let's not be anxious for anything. And let's continue to pray. Focus on what God has done for us, what he's doing for us, and what he will do for us. And keep, you know, aligning ourselves. Now, when we are doing things that are against God's will, we have to see that and change it. Can't give the enemy a foothold by having active sin in our life. And when we are convicted by the Holy Spirit to change, we need to listen and follow it. So that's our advice for today, this Monday of March. Today is the 11th, and we're moving ever closer. Just in 3 weeks, we'll be at Resurrection Sunday and Easter, and we'll be in the spring months. So as winter... spring begins on the 21st, or actually it says the first day of spring is the 19th on my calendar, so that's different. maybe leap year messed that up, but yeah, the 19th, so really a week from today and a day is the first day of spring, and whether or not the weather cooperates with what the calendar says, I guess we'll see, and we know who controls the weather, so we'll see what God has in store for us. Anyway, I have to work today, and most of us do on a Monday, and so we definitely need to pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day in your kingdom. Lord, we thank you so much for everything you've done in our lives. Let us not forget who we are in Christ. Let it empower us as we walk through our day today to try to represent your kingdom. Lord, we ask for your help today, and we ask you to help those who might be listening or reading today's message, that you come alongside and bless them. Open their eyes to the things things that you've done in their lives and help them. We ask for you to bless them in their prayer request. And Lord, as we're praying for them, we'll pray for ourselves. Open our eyes to the things you want us to see today and lead us in the way we should go. because all we want to do is represent you and your kingdom as we live here on earth. And we look forward to the day when there will be no more sorrow, pain, death, or tears. Lord, we thank you for that blessed hope that we have with you forever. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we love you. And we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.